Welcome to Tal Prince Live, your Pharisee-free zone, where no topic is off limits and no sin beyond grace. Now your host, Tal Prince.
Well, good evening, North America. We are so glad to be with you as we are each and every week. Happy, thankful, and just thrilled to bring you a Pharisee-free zone here on Family Net Radio. Thankful to Family Net for allowing us to be here, and we have enjoyed this and hope you are as well. So tonight, yet again, here we are. No topic off limits, no sin beyond grace. You are safe with us. This is just a great thrill and, you know, something I never thought I'd be able to do as somebody who spent 24 years absolutely hooked into porn and sex and could not get away, absolutely addicted. So it has been a long time coming, you know, coming into recovery from that, and to be able to have this opportunity to be on the air, to minister to you, to minister alongside you in the kingdom is a great, great honor and a great, great privilege. And we do not take it lightly. So thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time out as you are out on the highways and byways or wherever you are to listen to us. And we are thankful. So Phil Mickelson apparently wins the Masters today, as far as we know, at 16 under, for those of you scoring at home. But I was kind of following Tiger, obviously, as a recovering sex addict, somebody, you know, I was following that story closely. So we'd like to talk about that a little bit. What do you think? What do you think about Tiger being out there, or are you tired of hearing everybody talk about it? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Specifically, where I kind of like to take this for a little bit is just to talk about, you know, Tiger's did his press conference Monday. The very next day, the chairman of Augusta National came out, Billy Payne, came out and had some really harsh words for Tiger. Here's what he said. He said, as he now says himself, he forgot in the process to remember that with fame and fortune comes responsibility, not invisibility. It's not simply the degree of his conduct that is so egregious here. It is the fact that he disappointed all of us, and more importantly, our kids and grandkids. Our hero did not live up to the expectations of the role model we saw for our children. What do you think about that? You know, as a parent, if you are out there, what do you think about, you know, picking a professional athlete to be the role model for your kid? Now, I'm not absolving them of that responsibility. They do have to think about that. But as Christ-following parents, is a professional athlete the role model we want to pick out for our kids to follow? What do you think about that? 877-800-8645. Kind of fishing around here on Billy Payne. What do you think about his comments towards Tiger after, you know, Tiger had his press conference Monday? Very humble, very contrite, I thought. Did a great job clearly working through a 12-step program. For anybody who's been in that realm, you can kind of see him working that process. You know, it's very, very clear that he's working that process. And so, you know, he does that. The next day, the chairman comes out and just absolutely blasts him, and also says, let me find this, that he certainly his future will never again be measured only by his performance against par, but measured by the sincerity of his efforts to change. I don't hear that standard being applied to the other guys on the tour. I hear him giving that to Tiger. What do you think about that? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. Love to hear your thoughts on that. As is the norm, I am joined here tonight on air right across from me, working the dials, engineering the show, Garrett Tiny G. Irby. Garrett, how are you tonight, man?
I'm doing fine. Just trying to keep my elbow out of this Ricola cough drop right here, and then I'll be good tonight, man.
Yeah, we share a studio, and one of the guys that we share it with, he really loves his Ricola cough drops, and I don't know, he starts one a week, I think, and they're here, you know, on the, you know, just kind of in a wrapper, just, you know, kind of sitting here, and we all do kind of avoid it. It's not the most sanitary thing that we can think of, but you know, anyway, what do you think about Ricola cough drops? 877-800-8645. We're gonna jump to break. We're looking forward to interacting with you tonight, and this should be a good time. Pharisee free zone as always. So we'll be right back on the other side of the break. You're listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite, Family Net Radio. Don't fear, don't fall. That's little Jennifer Knapp. Some of you might remember her. She has been gone. She took a 7-year hiatus. She was in here in Birmingham on Friday night. Casey and I went down there all along with my lovely wife and Matt and Abby Gore, if you're listening. We were down there on Friday night to see Jennifer Knapp. Also played along with a new artist that we hadn't heard before named Amy Kortz. And we can highly recommend her to you. Amy Kortz, C-O-U-R-T-S. You know, really kind of a folk rock indie vibe. And she was really, really good, a believer and fantastic. So Amy Kortz. But Jennifer Knapp, she was huge for a while in Christian contemporary, and then she was gone for 7 years. And basically we found out that she'd been, you know, spend most of the time, if not all of it, in the outback in Australia.
Sounds like a good place to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So she was out there, you know, a lot of rumors swirling around her. And, you know, and I don't want to comment on any of that because I don't know about any of that. But, you know, she is back with some new music, and everything that we heard Friday night was fantastic. That right there called Dive In, the title, well, it was not the title cutter, but her new CD drops on May 11th called Letting Go, and that's the single from it right there called Dive In. Great, great songwriter. Highly recommend that. So Jennifer Knapp, go hunt her down. So, okay. So we're talking a little bit about the Tiger thing and the Masters and the chairman of Augusta National kind of coming out and smacking Tiger around after Tiger did the press conference. Mm-hmm. You just kind of look kind of rough if you come out after dude once he came, I mean, he came out and just kind of did the full dressed down apology, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he came out, he was humble, he was contrite, he's working his program. And the very next day, this dude jumps on him. And then people were quick to jump on him, you know, yesterday and today, because during his press conference, he said, I'm going to, you know, I apologize for my outburst. I'm going to, you know, try and do better at that and curtail that. You know, yesterday on live TV, he didn't do such a good job with that. He, you know, hit a bad shot, freaked out, yelled at himself, which is something that addicts do. You know, I mean, one of our bigger issues for a very long time is we have awful self-talk. We will we will bludgeon ourselves.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I mean, I know that I did. Why do addicts do that? Well, because we're so image conscious and we're so scared of failure and anything imperfect that if we make a mistake, we must make a big deal over it to make you think that that's rare. You know, we were talking in studio before air time about, you know, playing golf with people who just, you know, have a fit on the golf course. I'm like, dude, you're a hacker. you're out here with the rest of us because you're not on the PGA Tour. You paid greens fees to play here today. That means you're not good. So, I mean, I expect you to put one in the woods. Relax. It's okay. You know, but we all get so worked up and we will just scream bloody murder at ourselves. And we get so angry at ourselves because failure has never been really allowed in our world. And so when we fail, we're very hard on ourselves. You think about a guy like Tiger. Here's the thing. I mean, dude basically had a job since he was 3. You know?
Yeah,
I mean, he'd been working since he was 3, and the standard was very high. I mean, imperfection not allowed. Dude's been a professional athlete since 3. I mean, he was on TV shows at 3 years old hitting golf balls. You know, that's a lot of pressure on a 3-year-old kid. You know, so he grew up very hard on himself, you know, and so that, you know, that's part of his difficulty and part of the stuff that he's going to have to work through. You know, I mean, I don't know if you saw or heard about the planes that flew by. Gary, did you see any of that, man? The planes that flew by the course?
You know, somehow I did not see that. I missed that. I just saw a really warm reception by the crowd for for Tiger on his first day out there. But no, but I heard about it, but I didn't see anything about it. So what's up with that? What was the story on that?
It's awful. You know, some dude, you know, took it upon himself to ridicule Tiger and try and put its round in the tank, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, I mean, you know, the first plane he flew by, because Tiger embraced his Buddhism, which we need to pray for him because that ultimately is not going to get him there. If you pick a path that the ultimate outcome is you have no desire, well, if you're a sex addict, good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're a professional athlete, good luck with that. I mean, how do you reconcile desire to win with a faith that says you're to have no desire?
Yeah.
you know, the ultimate end is that nirvana is no desire. Well, dude, you're screwed. I mean, there's not a way out of that.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be problematic for him. And we do need to be praying for him and pray that some of the dudes on tour that are followers of Christ, that they can get to him and that they can minister to him and that they won't judge him and that they will be loving and gracious and merciful towards him and show him the love of Christ. That would be a phenomenal outcome to this. But so he's embraced his Buddhism, so he says. And so some dude flies a plane across trailing a banner that said, "Did you mean Buddhism?"
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, oh, come on. I mean, do we need to alienate an entire faith group as well? I
mean, right.
You know, and so then the plane landed, came back with another banner that said, you know, "Sex addict, ? Yeah, right. Sure. Me too."
Yeah.
You know, and that's the debate that's been ignited, right?
I mean,
a whole lot of people don't think sex addiction is real and, you know, and all that. But, you know, hey, we've talked about that a lot on the show. The answer is yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. If you doubt that, give me a call, 877-800-8645. We'll be happy to talk with you about that. 877-800-8645. Happy to talk with you about Tiger, about Billy Payne. You know, but we just kind of want to do that out of the open. But really, what we kind of want to get into tonight is doubt. So what is it that you do when you doubt faith? When you doubt your faith, what is your move? What do? Give us a call. Let us know what do you do when you doubt your faith, when you doubt the gospel. 877-800-8645. Maybe you're in a time of doubt right now and you just need some encouragement. You need somebody to talk you through that. We are happy to do that with you tonight. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. What do you do when you're at a time of doubting your faith? We all go through that, okay? It's okay to say so. We all go through times where our faith is at least not as strong as it sometimes is, but there are times when we doubt. There are times at diagnosis when we doubt. There are times during a crisis in life that we doubt. There are times when things go wrong in the world and we doubt. So what is it that you do to handle when you doubt your faith in Christ? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. We really want to talk to you about that tonight. It is a big topic. It is something that a lot of us struggle with. A lot of us don't know what to do about. It is a big, big issue. So 877-800-8645. I know for me, a lot of the time I was told and, you know, kind of taught by different pastors and youth pastors that, no, you don't doubt. That's a sign of weakness, and and we're worried about you. There's just kind of this automatic, we're worried about you.
Yeah.
If you're doubting your faith because, oh, no, we might lose him.
Yeah.
He might go to the dark side. you know, this is what happens, right? We all kind of freak out when somebody doubts. You know, so what do you do about that? 877-800-8645, 877-800-8645. It was a long time that I was taught that you're just a doubt is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that, you may not really be a Christian.
Yeah.
I mean, you ever been around that, Garrett? I mean, in your world coming up as a kid, was that kind of dominant teaching in your world?
Absolutely. I mean, and I had never heard anybody ever say that it was okay to doubt and it was okay to bring questions that you had about faith. Yeah, you always had to be rock solid and here's what you're supposed to believe. And if I ask you a question about what you believe, I just want to hear you say what we've told you before that you're supposed to believe. And that's all we want to hear you say. You know, make sure you got these are the answers to the questions, memorize them. And whenever I ask you the questions, say these answers and that's that.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how many times have you said it? Because you know the answer.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and, you know, and there's some good to that. There's some good to going back to, you know, the catechisms or teaching of the faith to go back and kind of lock down and get that, you know, understand that, you know, understand that. And so that's, you know, that is a deal for us. Just looking. Okay. So, you know, that's a deal for us. Okay. that we go to those teachings so that we kind of remember. But there's a lot of times when you're saying it and everything in you goes, I do not believe this.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay. I mean, that's a challenge, right? So what do you do when you're there? 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. We are looking forward to getting your responses on that. If you can do it, if you feel like it, if you want to talk about that, or again, if you're at a time where you right now are doubting your faith, you're doubting Christ, probably not too many of us in that boat right now, a week after Easter. But you go back to the disciples, they were right there at this very time.
Yeah.
Okay. So those closest to Jesus, right? Those closest to Jesus were doubting their faith. They were doubting the whole thing. I'm going to go ahead and call that if the disciples are allowed to doubt and Jesus doesn't come in and chop their heads off, then I'm going to say probably we can get away with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we can have a little bit of doubt in our life.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think I'm off base? Do you think, no, you can't doubt, Tal. That's not allowed. If you think doubt is troublesome or a problem or, any such position, give us a call. 877-800-8645. 877-800-8645. You are listening to Tal Prince Live on Sirius Satellite Radio, Family Net, Channel 161.
A little blues music right there from one of our favorite artists, Ry Cooder. New artist to me, just heard of him recently, but I'm loving him. Hoping you're loving that on the way back in. So we're talking tonight, just a week after Easter, we're talking tonight about doubt. And one thing that I heard a while back from one of my favorite preachers, he was talking about, and I've seen this because I look for this. I was in Walgreens just a couple nights ago because I look for the Easter candy that's on sale. And there's a sign when you walk in there, and there's a sign that says after Easter clearance, and it says reduced. And I think that's a lot of the times the way that I think that's definitely the way that the apostles felt. After the Easter resurrection, you look at them and you think, man, they ought to be up on a high. They ought to be on a high from their faith. They ought to be just jumping at the chance to go out and share this news.
Yeah.
But they're not.
No.
It seems like all that faith that you think they should have, it's just all reduced. And you wonder, where did it go to? And maybe some of you out there like that tonight. Somebody's thinking, hey, it's after Easter. I should be on a spiritual high right now. I shouldn't be in a valley right now. But maybe you're in one of those times right now where you're having a lot of doubts.
Yeah, I think it I was when I was at Walgreens tonight getting our weekly sugar buzz for the show, and all the Easter candy was half off, and I think often when I think about retail or any kind of big purchases, I kind of think about the concept of buyer's remorse. And a lot of us get that, right? Usually on big purchases, you're not gonna have, well, you should have buyer's remorse if you knock down the peeps.
Which we did last week.
I know, and I had great remorse over that. There's still an unopened box in my closet, and I'm hoping the girls don't find that. But here's the thing. I mean, a lot of us, when we make big purchases, we're going to have buyer's remorse, right? Mm-hmm. There are entire schools of thought dedicated to keeping people away from that. An Apple computer does a great job of it. I mean, when I went in to buy the iPad last week, they were applauding me. We talked about that last week.
Mm-hmm.
They were clapping and told me how jealous they were and, how envious they were of me for getting the iPad.
Now, can anybody legitimately use the words buyer's remorse and Apple in the same sentence?
Not in the store, no. You know, because I mean, there does, you know, we're joined in studio. Jack, you know, Jack sitting here, Jack Gilliland sitting with us, and you know, he was selling cars, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, I tell you, man, when you're trying to sell cars, you got to keep that out because, you know, people are gonna drive off the lot and go, man, I did not need another car payment, you know. But you get in there, you get caught up in it, boom, you're, you know, they get you on a test drive, you know, I mean, you know, they get you in a test drive, you're like, oh man, hey, then you buy the car, then you got this buyer's remorse feeling. I think the disciples really kind of started to deal with that a little bit, that, hey, listen, this is not what we bought. This is not what we signed up for. A dead Jesus is really no good to us. You know, on Saturday and Sunday, you know, they're kind of waiting, and then, you know, they hear, and they kind of, we talked about it last week, they kind of dealt with that, you know, the message of his resurrection is an idle tale. They didn't really buy it. You know, Peter and John went to check it out, but then, you know, the other guys are all locked up in the room. Now, you know, then you catch them that night, they're, you know, they're all locked up in the room. Now, understand, in that upper room, they would be locked behind two locked doors. So here are these guys, two of them know that Jesus is back.
Mm-hmm.
Right, John and Peter have seen him, but mm-hmm. all of them are upstairs, locked up in a room, scared to death. Okay, there's 9 of them in a room, or you know, or 10 of them in a room, and so there they are, scared to death. Jesus appears. That would freak me out.
Yeah, me too. Okay? Definitely.
I mean, boom, you turn around, and you know, there's Jesus just chilling. You know, I'm mm-hmm. like, hey, so Jesus knows they're going to freak out. So his greeting is peace be with you. This is all in John 20, 19 to 31. You know, hey, peace be with you. You know, relax. It's all good. You know, yes, yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I'm alive, just like I told you. And then he breathes on them, gives them the power of the Holy Spirit. Then he tells them, hey, you guys need to get out and spread the gospel. This is really the message, you know, of this whole kind of – people freak out about this. You know, well, you know, whatever you forgive is forgiven. Whatever sins you retain is retained. That doesn't mean that they had the authority to forgive or hold anyone's sin against them. He's telling them you need to go share the gospel. If you don't, that's as good as holding somebody's sin against them. You know, that's really the point. Point there, so they did not have authority over sin, and none of us do either. I, you know, because if we did, everyone would go straight to hell because everyone has a grudge against somebody and everyone has a grudge against them. So down you
go.
So that would never really go well. All right, so he boom, he's kicking them out in the streets. Go spread the gospel, spread the message that I'm back, that I'm alive, that just like I said, go. 8 days later, well, a few days later, sometime they see Thomas and they tell, because Thomas was not there. Because
mm-hmm.
Thomas, I think, was hot. Thomas was isolated, like any other good addict would be. You know, because when things don't go our way, we isolate.
Sure do.
So I think Thomas has got a little buyer's remorse here. I mean, look, I sold everything. All the apostles, we sold everything. We left our family. We did all this stuff. And now Jesus is dead. This is not what we signed on for. This is not what I bought. You know, so here's – they come up on Thomas and say, hey, Thomas, look, we've seen him. He's alive. Thomas tells them to get bent. Thomas is like, I don't believe you, and I'm not going to believe until I see it. And in fact, I'm not going to believe until I put my fingers in the nail holes and in his pierced side. I mean, Thomas is serious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he gets a bad rap because we call him what? Doubting Thomas.
That's right.
Like all the other dudes were, you know, never cut and ran.
Never, never.
You know, like they weren't locked up in the panic room. Holy cow. Right? I mean, so this, it's just kind of ridiculous, this whole thing. Well, Thomas gets a bad rap. So anyway, and a lot of us have had these doubts. All of us have had these doubts. Get real. So there's Thomas, you know, and so he says all that. So then it comes back around. He gets back in the gospel-driven community. He gets back around other dudes. And he's not believing because he said he would not until he saw him and felt the holes himself. And then, boom, Jesus appears again. Who's freaking out, right? I mean, you know, because here's the other 10 going, because they're back in the locked room again behind 2 locked doors, not doing what they were supposed to be doing, back fearful of getting killed, you know, back afraid of the Jews who, you know, who Jesus has just shown up, you know, and so here comes Jesus, boom, and there's Thomas. Now, what do you think's going to go down, right? I mean, now, if you had never read this, or even if you had, just put that on hold for a second. And what would you expect? expect the response to be? You know, I mean, serious. How do you think Jesus would respond if it were you?
It wouldn't go very well for the apostles if it were me.
Well, yeah. I mean, because this is the deal. Jesus is so completely different than anything we ever expect, right? Because I'm going to tell you what.
That's right.
If I were Jesus, I so would have been at Caiaphas' house. That would have been my first stop. I would have been, yo, Caiaphas. And then I would have swung by Pilate, been like, dude, your wife was right. Sucks to be you, man. Mm. This is not going to end well for you, dude. You should never have done that. But, you know, we would have done that. We want to kind of gloat over victory. We want to do all that, yeah. But not Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Boom. He reappears in this room a second time. 8 days later, there's Thomas, and what's Jesus' response to him? I mean, he doesn't attack him. He doesn't shame him. He doesn't rebuke him. He doesn't mock him. He doesn't reject him. This Jesus literally has the power to say, Thomas, you can go to hell. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. He doesn't. Hey, come here, Thomas. Come here. He knows what Thomas needs. Now, Thomas is, you know, Thomas is like trying to back down, right? I mean, he's like, hey, no, I see you. I'm good. You know, but Jesus is like, no, come here and put your finger in the holes. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead. You know, and then Thomas gets it right. Mm-hmm. You know, my Lord and my God. He rightly identifies the Christ. But go back, you know, and when we talk about John, you know, about Thomas being a doubter, go back to John 11 and check out Thomas. Mm-hmm. Okay? John 11, this is the whole Lazarus thing, right, where Lazarus, they come tell him that he's sick. Jesus purposely waits for Lazarus to die. That's harsh, man. But he has a reason. He has a purpose in this. It is for the disciples, and that's what he tells them. You know, and he says, we're going to go back, and we're going to, you know, I'm going to go raise him from the dead so that you will see and believe. Because he knows even then they're doubting. They've seen him. They've seen Jesus disappear in front of the Pharisees. They've seen Jesus heal people. But even so, they're still doubting. They're not believing. They're at a low point. So Jesus says, we're going to go over there, and I want you to see that. they get ready to head that way, and then the disciples, there's a little conversation. So Jesus says, Lazarus died, and I'm glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him. Okay, hasn't raised him from the dead yet, just said he's gonna, but they're gonna go back to a very violent area where they very likely may die for doing so. And here's Thomas. He says, come along, we might as well go with him and die with him. Mm-hmm. There's Thomas before the miracle, before the sign, before resurrection, and he's believing to a point that he's ready to die.
Yeah, yeah. And I say that's an incredible picture of faith right there.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. That's a beautiful thing. And there he is. Yes, Jesus, we will go and we will die with you. Awesome. Let's go. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to die alongside of you. We'll go because I believe you are. I'm in. Let's go. I mean, great faith. No miracle, no sign. I believe to the point of laying my life down with you. Let's go. But here he is. No one's threatening his life specifically yet. And he hasn't seen the resurrection. He's been told about it, but he won't believe. And he's huddled in a panic room, you know, with 10 other dudes who are scared too. You know, but two chapters earlier, he was all about, well, not two, but nine chapters earlier, he was all about, I'll go and die with you. Man, I'm going to tell you, we ride that cycle of faith, all right? What do you do when you doubt your faith? 877-800-8645. You're listening to Tal Prince Live, Sirius Satellite, Channel 161. This is FamilyNet. When I first met you, babe. Back to that single from Jennifer Knapp. Just wanted to give you another little snippet of that. Jennifer Knapp, Dive In, off the new CD coming up, Letting Go. And if any of you know her, we'd love to have her on the show. Don't think she's probably doing much press right now or any media, but we would love to have her on. So if any of you happen to know her, hey, let us know. And by the way, you can contact us during the week at Hope, H-O-P-E, Hope at TalPrinceLive.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, just at TalPrince, just like that. T-A-L-P-R-I-N as in Nancy, C-E. All right. You can follow me there. You can message me there. Let me know. You can also get Garrett there at Hope Engineer. And you can get Seabass Casey Hobbs at CHobbs9. So we would love to interact with you there. We'd love to interact with you, you know, any way that we can. We are open and willing to do so. Next week I'll talk about it. I got a lot of speaking engagements come up, and I'll be talking to you about that. But I do want to go ahead and plug one coming up, Kearney, Nebraska. Ladies and gentlemen, University of Nebraska, Kearney, on April 28th is the date. I don't know what day of the week that is, but April 28th, we will be at University of Nebraska, Kearney. This event is open to the public. I'm not sure what time that's going to begin just yet, but we are coming there and looking forward to doing the porn talk there. So we're going to be talking about porn in Kearney, Nebraska. Don't act like you don't know, Nebraska. Coming your way.
That's right.
So coming your way, boys and girls. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to that opportunity. A lot of fun there and thankful for that. Also going to be at Davis College up in New York. Coming your way as well. So school's loading up on the calendar right now. Ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, back to the panic room. Back, you know, with Jesus and the disciples all panicked, all huddled up. Thomas going, I'm not going to believe unless I put my fingers in the holes. You know, the other disciples, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're malfunctioning. They're crashing. They're not doing right. That, you know, they're not doing anything they've been told to do. Now here it comes, right? You know, Jesus deals lovingly with the doubt. Okay, he loves them to faith. He doesn't strong arm them, smack them around, mock them, shame them, reject them. He loves them to faith. Okay, he understands this is weakness in them, and so he is loving them through that. Okay, now here is the deal about Jesus. You want to talk about buyer's remorse? Jesus has none. All right. There is no buyer's remorse from Jesus here at all.
That's
he
right.
doesn't regret it for a moment. Okay, now get this straight. You do not buy the gospel buys you. All right, if we flip that around, we get into a whole lot of trouble. Because if you flip that around, if you bought it, you can take it back. Okay, Jesus buys you, and he never once considered asking for a refund. He never once considered exchanging you for something else. Okay, he bought you because he loves you, and he loves you because he made you. That's it. That takes the pressure off. He loves you because he made you. That's a great day, okay? We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. That's what scripture tells us, right? And he's paid the ultimate price for us. And here are the men huddled in a room that he just paid for just a couple of days ago. And here they all are huddled in a room, fearful and hiding, not doing what they've been told to do, not working right. Yet Jesus shows no buyer's remorse because of their doubt and disobedience. He loves them. And understand that Jesus will not reject you either. He won't, not based on your doubt, not based on your disobedience. If he has purchased you, if you have accepted that, he will not let you go. He will not ask for a refund. He will not exchange you. This is the piercing radicality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the scandal of grace. This is what freaks people out. It drives people to insanity. Because they can't understand this. He has never wanted to take you back in and exchange you. He's never wanted to take back what he did. He's never regretted the cross for a second. It loves He absolutely loves you. It doesn't matter what happened. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Your doubt cannot change the gospel. Your times of unbelief cannot change the love of the gospel. Your sin cannot change the love of the gospel. You can't do it. Jesus lovingly, patiently deals with us. Okay? Now you think about it. If the disciples were your friends, if they were your friends and you know, and this were you, let's put you in Jesus' position for just a second, and you had 12 friends, one sold you for 30 pieces of silver. 10 were huddled in a room, freaked out, and one was just completely gone. But none of them believed that you had risen from the dead. But you died a very painful death for them. What's your response? I mean, you would go nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'll tell you right now, I will lose my mind against people that if I just bought their dinner and they treated me like this, I would be hot, man. I'd be like, what? I bought your dinner. How can you treat me like this? Are you kidding me? No, Jesus dies, comes back from the dead, and still they struggle. Still they disobey. Still they are fearful. Still they doubt, just like us. And that is the love of Jesus Christ. Now notice, they weren't freaked out once Jesus showed up. Because the presence of a real risen Jesus changes things. And it'll change things in your life as well. It has to. You know, Jesus knows they're going to freak out when they first see him. That's why both times that he appears to them in this room, his first word out of his mouth is peace. Okay? Peace. Relax. It's okay. And I know you doubt, because I doubt. I'm in ministry, for crying out loud, and I have times of doubt. All of us do. Doubt is a part of faith. Faith without doubt is not faith. It's walking by sight. There'll be a day when we get to walk by sight, not by faith. But right now, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so we are going to have doubt, and that's okay. When you struggle with that and you think that God might be mad at you because you're having an issue and you're doubting or you're struggling to believe some of this, come back to John 20, 19 to 31, and look at how he deals with Thomas and the disciples who have clearly all doubted. They all cut and ran when he got arrested. Well, Peter cut Malchus's ear and then he ran. It was a different type of cut and run for Peter. but here these guys go, right? And Jesus saw it all go down and he loves them. You know, I mean, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know where you are tonight, but, you know, I don't know what's going on with you. But if you were in a place of doubt, understand this, that Jesus is with you.
Absolutely.
Okay. There is a real resurrected Christ with you, and he wants to deal with your doubt and your unbelief just like he did with the disciples. He's not waiting for you to come to him. He never does. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes to us. It's the point of the incarnation. It's the point of the cross. He comes to us. And he is with you no matter where you are right now. He is saying, peace be with you. Peace. I'm not here to rebuke you for your weakness. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to love you and to remind you that I'm alive. That is what Jesus is saying to you tonight. He's here to say to you, I know you struggle. I know you doubt, and I know you're afraid. I know that at times you disbelieve. You know, I know that. I know your weakness, and I love you. Look at my hands. Mm-hmm. Look at my feet. Look at my side. See these wounds? I died. I died for you. But then I rose again. I came back from the dead. I conquered death. What problem could you possibly have that you think I can't handle? Jesus conquered death. Get that. There's nothing you struggle with that he can't handle. Right? He loves you. He doesn't regret being on the cross for a second, because you were worth that to him. You were worth that to his father. His glory was worth going through that, and you bring glory to him. And in his presence, all doubt and fear disappear, right? And this is the importance of being in the Word. This is literally, when you are in the Word of God, you are literally in the presence of Jesus, because Jesus is the living Word. If you are out there rolling and not in the Word every day, you're going to have a hard time. You're going to have a hard time. And I know when you're at one of those times of stress and fear and doubt, that probably sitting down and reading the Scripture is about the last thing you want to do. Just kind of get yourself in this mindset. When reading the Scripture is the last thing you want to do, it's the first thing you need to do.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't want it, even if you sit there and you're reading it, go, blah, 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 I've read this, I know. Keep reading. Stay in the Word. That's why John says he wrote this gospel. Right after this section with Thomas, you know, John says this gospel is written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You've got to be in the Word when you doubt, when you struggle. You've got to be there. Don't run from it. Don't put it aside. I mean, really, with all the tools available today, you can have it on your iPhone, on your BlackBerry. The YouVersion is free. The YouVersion app, YOUVersion app, is great, phenomenal, and it's free. You can have the Bible in any translation you want. It's amazing. All right? It's a great day. It's a great, great day. Confess your doubt to him. He ain't sweating that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tao Prince Live, Sirius Satellite. Channel 161, this is the best radio on radio.
Let's kick it off with something like this.
Tab and Wah. Wouldn't be a Tao Prince Live show without a little Tab and Wah sneaking in there. The boys are excited because Tab's coming to Birmingham. So, you know, crew's excited.
That's right.
yeah. We don't doubt his existence. sadly, we believe more in Tab sometimes. It's just the way it is. It's sad. I mean, yeah, because we can see him. You know, it's nuts. It's sad. We're so twisted. All right. But here's the deal. Here's what happens. About the next time we see Peter and the apostles, well, I mean, we see Peter, you know, in this whole kind of, you know, really tough thing with John, you know, where, you know, Jesus is hanging there in the fish, right? You know, do you love me? Do you love me more than these? You know, that whole scene. But then we see Peter, you know, out and you know, so here it is in Acts 5:27, bringing them back. They stood them before the high council, and the chief priest said, "Didn't we give you strict orders not to teach in Jesus' name? And here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are trying your best to blame us for the death of this man." Peter and the apostles. All right. They're all there. Well, not Judas. He's dead. But Peter and the apostles answered, "It's necessary to obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, the one you killed by hanging him on a cross. God set him on high at his side, Prince and Savior, to give Israel the gift of a changed life and sins forgiven. And we are witnesses to these things. The Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him, corroborates every detail." I mean, look, man, do you know how strong you got to be to say that? Really, not very. You just have to be weak enough to depend on the Holy Spirit, who Jesus gave him. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit caused them to say these things and caused them to obey when they got out of the way, when they understood that in their own strength they were weak and doubting and disbelieving, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, things like that can get said. All right, you know, and here's the very next thing. When they heard that, meaning the Jews, the chief priests and the Pharisees, when they heard that, they were furious and wanted to kill them on the spot. All right? That's courage. So here they are. They go from, you know, Thomas goes from courage to, yeah, I'll go without seeing any sign, to complete doubt and disbelief, at a dead Jesus. I'm out. I'm not going to believe in this until I put my hands, and, you know, in his side and in the nail holes and in the feet holes. I'm not going to believe. And then back to great courage here, to the point of death. The threat of death is very, very real. And there they are in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Jesus, the power that lives inside of you if you are a follower of Christ. That power is in you. That power is available to you. That power is very real. Okay? And that it is that power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You get that upon your conversion. That is the gift that we are given. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit. We are given the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. The Spirit of Jesus lives inside of us. I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care what your struggle is. Do you really think the Holy Spirit can't help you with that? The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, do you think he's sweating your addiction? Do you think he's sweating your porn problem? Do you think he's sweating your doubt? Do you think Jesus sweats your doubt? Do you think there's a question that you've got that can stump him? Do you think there's something you can go, well, Jesus, here it is. Here's the big question. And Jesus is going to go, oh, crap, I hadn't thought about that. I mean, that's not going to happen. He's bigger than your questions. Ask your questions and have your doubts. The day will dawn, says Fosick, where you will question your questions and doubt your doubts. That's the way we like it. You've been listening to Tao Prince Live on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 161. This is FamilyNet. We are glad to be here. We will see you here next week. Thanks for listening.